The best thing that would happen for some professing Christians is for them to come to grips with the fact that they don't know Jesus.
From Walking in Grace, this is the Straight Truth Podcast, Christian truths in an increasingly secular world.
Welcome again to the Straight Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Philpott, and as always, I'm joined by Pastor Richard Caldwell of Founders Baptist Church. Now, in this podcast, we are seeking to answer any question you might have about doctrine, faith, practice, Bible verses, and the like. Now, if you're watching this podcast from YouTube or maybe listening on your favorite podcast app, we would love to hear from you and interact with the sort of questions you might have for Pastor Richard. The easiest way to get a question to us is by leaving a comment below the video or by going to our website and submitting a question. Our website is straighttruth.net. Now, at that website, you can find links to all of our previous episodes, as well as merchandise and contact information. With that, let's get to the question for this episode. Pastor, this question has to do with couples, let's just say, coming to you for pastoral counseling before they get married. I like to get kind of behind this the curtain a little bit and to see what your process is. And I think this question lines up with that. So this person's asking, for their whole life, they've kept themselves pure, they're ready to get married, but how important is it that their fiancé has also kept it pure before they get married? Is that a deal breaker for them in marriage? And then I've got a couple other questions I want to ask after you answer that one.
So let's first of all magnify and celebrate the will of God given in Scripture, which is that a husband and wife, ideally, would get married one day, both having, by the grace of God, come to know Christ earlier in life and kept themselves for each other in marriage. So the day they get married, they've known no one else sexually but the person they're married to. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful, joyful, God-glorifying pathway that would represent. We don't want to diminish that in any way. And that is what we're taught in Scripture, and that is what we put before the church, and that should be the aim of every believer who is saved at a young enough age that they can pursue that pathway for a lifetime. We want to say that. Having said that, sin is forgiven by Christ. And when it's forgiven, it's forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly forgiven. It's forever forgiven. And the idea that, let's just assume we're talking about one person who's kept themselves for marriage. Now they meet a fellow believer.
Mm-hmm.
They're, who's qualified to be married, so that's a whole other conversation about when we're free to be married and not with right. respect to divorce and remarriage, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. But there's nothing standing in the way of these two people marrying each other. They both know Christ. Because one is not a virgin and the other is, does that make the marriage something that's off limits? No, not at all. Forgiveness is real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things we want to do, I think, in preparing people for marriage is talk about the practical realities that come about in life because of sin in a whole host of areas. I mean, it could, one person carrying a great amount of financial debt into the marriage and the other right. one not could create issues they're going to have to deal with in the future. The same could be true in this realm. So in any realm where sin has been committed, though it is forgiven, that's not to say that there are not sometimes repercussions that follow after would be inaccurate. There are. So you've got to be prepared for that and ready to talk through it. But the idea that you can't have a God-glorifying joyful marriage because one of the people has sinned previously would just be wrong.
What are the deal breakers, let's say, for a Christian marriage?
An unbeliever.
Okay.
I mean, that a believer is not to be married to an unbeliever. That the Bible is clear about that. I think another deal breaker would be clear sign. Let's say both are believers and have a genuine testimony. There still is a maturity level that I think is wise for marriage.
Sure.
So when you say deal breaker, what I would probably think of is more in terms of delay. You know, let's don't enter into this until we know we're ready.
Right.
And so I think maturity is one of the things you want to consider. But outside of that, and the Bible makes it very simple, Josh, which I appreciate. You know, 1 Corinthians 7 makes it really simple.
Yeah.
You can marry the widow who desires to remarry. She can marry whomever she wants, only in the Lord. Mm-hmm. There's the qualification. Are they in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about it before. I mean, my wife and I, we got married at a very young age. I was 19. She was 18. We were immature in a lot of different ways. But here we are, we'll celebrate 38 years of marriage in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has, it's the sweetest relationship of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The qualification is genuine Christianity.
Okay.
So do I see evidence that this person really knows Jesus? I told my kids as they were growing up, I do pray for someone who will love you.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, I pray for someone who loves Christ
right.
for you. Because if they love Christ, they'll love you.
Yeah.
And the day they don't love Christ is the day they won't love you well. Mm-hmm. So that's the qualification.
So I want to think about this same question, but from, say, the angle of a family member. So maybe I can kind of paint a scenario here. How does a family member respond to another family member, or maybe even just a friend? Let's just say this is within a family that is getting into a marriage that clearly doesn't honor the Lord. Let's say, for instance, you've got a mother and father and children. One child has decided to marry, Christian family, says she's a believer, has decided to marry, say, somebody of a different faith.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, a strong contrast, let's say, marry into Islam or Mormonism, something like that. How does that Christian family respond to that? Do they support that marriage because it's marriage after all, or do they help plan the marriage? Do they partake of all those things as it relates to the marriage?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't participate in anything that violates scripture in the life of someone who professes to be a Christian. So the scenario you just gave me is a family member who professes to be a believer, and now they're going to marry an unbeliever, and they're wanting my, not only affirmation of it, they're wanting my participation in it. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. And this is where, here's what we've lost in many cases, Josh, is biblical ecclesiology, right? The life of the church. So I'm asking, if we've got a believer about to marry an unbeliever, where are the fellow believers calling them to account on this?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do about that? I mean, that's a discipline issue in the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you go one-on-one, you go with two or more. Where are the elders of the church this person goes to?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just me and my loved one. If we belong to a faithful church, I mean, I'm going to call into the equation the elders and everybody else,
yeah.
try to save my professing loved one from this sin, and it will be a sin. So we've got to ask our family member, do you really know Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to hold on to this profession?
You're willing to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're going to hold on to this profession that you know Jesus, then you're clearly about to violate his word. You know, will you repent of this and call them away from that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a different scenario. Let's say I've got a family member who's not a Christian, and they're going to marry someone who's not a Christian.
Okay.
Can I participate in that? Can I attend that? The answer is yes. And the reason why is I'm just loving them as their sibling.
Mm.
I'm going to continue to be a gospel witness to them. I'm going to continue to share the gospel with them. But they're not professing to be a Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
There is a standard that's different for the person who professes to know Jesus as compared to the person who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And probably I'll rephrase that. The best thing that would happen for some professing Christians is for them to come to grips with the fact that they don't know Jesus.
Hmm.
Right? Stop pretending to know Christ, and then you have no regard for what he teaches about this issue. Just admit you don't know him,
mm-hmm.
if that's the case. And then I'm going to call you to repentance for salvation.
Yeah.
But if you profess to know Jesus, I'm going to hold you accountable to the standard of scripture in this area. And so I cannot support you as a professing believer as you violate God's will knowingly in this area of your life. It's going to devastate you. It would not be me loving you
mm-hmm.
to affirm you in this. So I'm going to do everything in my area of responsibility to make sure that I try to rescue you from this.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Straight Truth. Now, we'd love for you to share this episode with friends and family and to subscribe. The easiest way to do that is by going to our website, straighttruth.net, and there you'll find links to all of our social media channels, like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Now, Straight Truth is listener-supported. If you'd like to find out ways to help us to continue to produce this podcast, again, you can find that at the website, straighttruth.net. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.